think it's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam. Okay, welcome everybody to It Ain't Easy Being Green. Welcome movie lovers of all levels. You are listening on this one, this show, to The Projectionist here on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, Canada, and online at citr.ca. My name is Michael Idolior, and this is a show where I review movies, share my commentaries about anything that involves filmmaking and cinema, report news on local and international cinema, and from time to time have in-depth interviews with filmmakers. I'm just a guy who loves filmmaking and loves movies. On this week's episode, I'll be reviewing Star Trek Into Darkness and the Canadian-made I Declare War. And if we have time after that, I can sneak in my review of The Hangover Part 3. You can call, email, or send a Twitter if you want to share your thoughts about any of the movies being discussed today. The phone number for the studio is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. And that's, I think, 604-UBC-CITR. My email address for the show is theprojectionist.citr@gmail.com, or through Twitter, if you're into those things. Twitter.com/Michael_Idolior. It's Idillor. So, without further ado, let's get into my first review, Star Trek Into Darkness.
Choices you make could get yourself and everyone under your command killed. But I believe in you, Jim.
Darkness is coming.
This could just be the beginning.
Beginning of what?
All-out war. I request permission to go after him. I cannot allow you to do this.
Jim, you're not actually going after this guy, are you?
Let's go get this son of a bitch.
You are a pawn, Kirk.
Sir, there's a ship heading right for us.
You can't even guarantee the safety of your own crew. Shall we begin?
I'm sorry.
We're outnumbered. Outgunned.
I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. I only know what I can do.
The ship's dead, sir. She's gone. No, she's not. No ship should go down without her captain.
I believe in you, Jim.
Okay, that was the trailer for Star Trek Into Darkness. So, the synopsis, and this is from the StarTrekMovie.com. This is what they put online. When the crew of the Enterprise is called back home, they find an unstoppable force of terror from within their own organization has detonated the fleet and everything it stands for, leaving our world in a state of crisis. With a personal score to settle, Captain Kirk leads a manhunt to a war zone world to capture a one-man weapon of mass destruction. As our heroes are propelled into an epic chess game of life and death, love will be challenged, friendships will be torn apart, and sacrifices must be made for the only family Kirk has left, his crew. So, the movie is directed by J.J. Abrams. Writing credits are Roberto Orci, Alex Kurtzman, and Damon Lindelof. So, Roberto Orci and Alex Kurtzman wrote the first Star Trek, and Damon Lindelof, if you all know him, is the guy behind Prometheus and the Lost TV series. So, I don't know. Before, I guess, full disclosure, I'm not a Trekkie or a Trekker, so I did not come into this movie with that baggage where, like, expectations, or I'm like, you know, I memorized the canon and all those, like, the lore of Star Trek. I just came in with, you know, just judging the movie. And I liked this movie. I like this movie. It was fun. It was, like, it was a good adventure film, you know. Big popcorn, I mean, explosions. And it's, for me, I liked the first Star Trek. You know, I didn't care about, like, the reboot. It's like, oh, you know, what's going to happen? You know, like, people were, like, hung up, were like, oh, they're changing this time travel thing. And, oh, Kirk, you know, like, Kirk is different now this time. But for me, I can roll with that, you know. I mean, there was this thing happened, like, a few weeks ago when Iron Man 3 came out. A lot of people were like, the filmmakers took something different on their adaptation of the Mandarin and putting it on screen, and a lot of people were like angry about it, and some people were like didn't care. For me, I was like, I can roll with it. And the same thing with this Star Trek. It's a new universe, so I figured, you know what, this is blank slate, and it's different from what the ones before, the Kirk, Shatner, and I mean all those people that came before this. With that being said, I loved the film. I enjoyed the film very much. It's what I liked about it is that it's a continuation of what happened in the first film that was set up. This time it's a new universe. Kirk did not have his father, so Kirk is, you know, still growing up, and we have this father figure in General Pike, and he's like saying, oh, I believe in you, you know, Kirk, I believe in your greatness. Because in the original universe, Kirk had his father. Kirk basically had his inspiration and taught him a lot of things. But this one's like, he's just like still like flying by the seat of his pants. He got this the command of the starship, the Enterprise, basically by luck, you know, and he was just at the right place at the right time. And so this time he is still like just being all cocky Kirk. And this the conflict is like, I love the conflict between him and Spock, where they both are like, there's still that like bromance, I don't know, that going on. But I find it's this time everything's the world set up, so you're like, okay, you don't have to introduce the characters. You come to, okay, give us what you bring. And I have to put spoiler alert on this one, because I don't know if it's a spoiler alert, if you're really like been following, reading a lot about this movie online, because the filmmakers did not really do well with keeping the spoiler. For me, I purposely did not read anything about this film, you know, just to keep my mind fresh. So when the spoiler here is that basically this movie is a rehash of Wrath of Khan. They just took 60% of Wrath of Khan and remixed it for the modern age. And there was an article online, someone's floating that says there's things on Star Trek Into Darkness that are very similar to the archetypes of Star Wars. And they were talking about, how like there's this scene where they were trying to escape, again, spoiler alert, I don't know if you care, but the Klingons going, I think, through this like slice of like entranceway, and they were like, the ship went, I guess, vertical? I don't know. Instead of horizontal? I don't know. You see it in the trailer, and they would say, it's just the same as in Star Trek. Or there's the scene with what the heck is it? Scotty and his like partner, like the small alien guy, is the same as, you know, C-3PO and R2-D2's relationship, where like C-3PO just like does all the talking and this like R2-D2 just like sits there and all like takes it or something. But anyway, the biggest complaint that people have with this movie is that they were all about like the mystery box. J.J. Abrams was famous for explaining his attraction to the idea that, you know, of this mystery box, wherein the mystery is more important than knowledge. You know, personally, it's not a new concept. You know, giving out or revealing too much information can ruin the surprise or the impact. You know, it's, you know, people have been doing this since the beginning of cinema. Unfortunately, there's a shift in perception in audiences where they, you know, people don't want to be surprised, or they don't, they want to know everything, and it's hard to keep a secret now. You know, it's like in an online world, you know, people are used to having all the answers and information available to them 24/7. So this kind of, people were like annoyed by this, because J.J. Abrams, before he tiptoed, he really kept it a secret. It's like, is it Khan? Is it not Khan? So everything was, people got annoyed by it, because it's like, man, why don't you just like, why don't you just have the courage to just like look at the Trekkie fan base and say, look, we're doing Khan. We're doing it. This will be our take. Come see what we do, you know. But instead of doing that, they just did everything they could to distance themselves from Wrath of Khan. But then this movie turned into another Wrath of Khan. And then basically, instead of just going from square one. But for me, I don't mind that. It's like, I like that this movie becomes like a shadow version, you know, of what's like the original Star Trek, and this is like the new Star Trek, a shadow version of everything, where instead of like, well, if you've seen Wrath of Khan, I guess that's a spoiler, a shadow version of everything. My gripe though is just, as much as I enjoyed all the action, all the entertainment, they were just focused on three people: Kirk, Spock, and Khan, which is played awesomely by Benedict Cumberbatch. I did got that. I was like, but he did, I don't know. There's this menace, this like the way he speaks is like, I don't know, it's like he almost is like eats his words or something. You know, it's like you're afraid that he'll eat you or something. And the part where I love the most is the climax, where basically there's a throwdown, an epic throwdown between Khan and one of the officers of the Starfleet Enterprise. I won't say who, because I think me saying Khan is already enough spoiler there. But that's pretty much it. I highly recommend, for me anyway, I enjoyed Star Trek Into Darkness. By the way, hope you forgive me. This is my first time ever giving a review online, on air. And I would like to ask a question with you guys. So why do so many of us want to know as much as possible about the plot points, casting, and cameos in the movies we've yet to watch? Because I've been researching for this show, I was reading about the reaction online, and most of the people's reaction were like, oh, it's just straightforward action, there's not a lot of story involved. But I'm like, dude, it's Star Trek. It's a space western. That's a Gene Roddenberry. He based all his archetypes, his stories of the Star Trek, on old western series, and you get that feel. If I don't know if you guys are noticed that, but anyway, other than the people were annoyed by J.J. Abrams' weird sense of keeping the mystery box going, Rob Hunter from Film School Ejects, I'd like to share his he wrote a good, I think, an insightful opinion piece on why J.J. Abrams used the mystery box all wrong. Here's an excerpt from his opinion piece. J.J. Abrams' decision to keep Khan's presence inside his mystery box was a mistake. While I don't believe it's to blame for a smaller than expected opening weekend like some do, this particular secret and its subsequent reveal add absolutely nothing to the experience of seeing the film. First, Abrams and his trio of questionably talented but incredibly lucky and smart screenwriters disregard Abrams' own advice from his TED talk, where he says, "The investment of character is the stuff that's really inside the box." He acknowledges that too frequently, people making sequels are ripping off the wrong thing. You're not supposed to rip off the shark or monster. If you gotta rip something, rip off the character, rip off the stuff that matters. With Star Trek Into Darkness, they treat Khan like the shark from Jaws, or the monster from any number of horror sequels, by assuming his name and past appearances will wholly inform his new incarnation. Second, holding something back like this from the audience, both in the lead-up to the film, but also within the film itself, implies the eventual revelation will hold real value. But what does Khan even bring to this universe? Not only is there no narrative history as there was with Wrath of Khan, but Khan is only Khan because of what happened in a different timeline. He has no personal beef here with anyone we care about, meaning there's no, oh God, Khan is back moment for us to relish. And that's not even taking into account the audience members who've never watched the original series or movies. The name Khan means absolutely nothing to them, and there's nothing magically mysterious about merely changing a character's name from John Harrison to Khan. Yeah. So, with that being said, I think I understand. It's understandable why, for some people, the mystery box concept detracted from the movie, especially since they had a weird way of keeping the so-called Khan mystery a secret. If you look online on the IMDb page, they basically just put in Benedict Cumberbatch's character as Khan. I don't know if that's what they were going for, of keeping it a secret. But for me anyway, I didn't mind. I just came in here fresh. I judged the film, I didn't read any reviews. I didn't read any fan, speculations and stuff. So for me, when I first, John Harrison, Benedict Cumberbatch's character, he reveals that his name is Connor. So it's like, oh my god, they're going to do Wrath of Khan. And as the movie went on, I'm seeing, oh man, that's Wrath of Khan there. That's Wrath of Khan there. And for me, I say, okay, how are you going to do Wrath of Khan? Now, if you've seen Wrath of Khan, you know how it ends. And then, of course, there's a sequel to Wrath of Khan, which is, I think, The Search for Spock. But this one, I would have think it would be awesome for me anyway if they took it in a different route instead of, like, you know, the guy who dies in the end stays dead. He doesn't, you know, that's the only thing that I think they would work. But anyway, that's my thoughts about Wrath of Khan. What you guys think about Wrath of Khan, you could give me a call. Share your thoughts if you don't mind. 604-UBC-CITR or 604-822-2487. Or you could Twitter me something. Twitter.com/MichaelDeLior or email at theprojectionist.citr@gmail.com. So, but before we go into that, here's a few PSAs courtesy of CITR.
ABC Short Film Makers, this 4th annual Vancouver Short Film Festival is now accepting entries until August 1st, so get those cameras rolling. The student recent grads and professional filmmakers can submit films and videos, and remember, the shorter the better. Last year 29 short films were screened, and over $15,000 in prize we were awarded to busy filmmakers. For entering rules and submit online, please visit the Vancouver Short Film Festival at vsff.com.
Around the circumference of the world.
Become a friend.
$1 billion on the ground, all stretched out and uncurled, would extend about 4 times around the circumference of the world.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, RX Comics, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, Temple of the Modern Girl Boutique, the Wallflower Modern Diner, and Woo Vintage Clothing.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca.
Okay, we are back. Welcome back. You're listening to The Projectionist here on CITR 101.9 FM. And on the internet at citr.ca. This show is being broadcasted live at the University of British Columbia, Vancouver, Canada. So we move on to our next topic today, which is the movie I Declare War. Unfortunately, the movie already played here in Vancouver. It's sad to see, but it played at the Van City Theater this past week. But you can still catch it if you want. It's online. You can stream it on Netflix. Or I think it's on. It will have a DVD release on Amazon June 25. So if you are interested. So here you go. I Declare War.
He's your best friend, right?
Yeah.
With all his stupid rules.
I'm gonna win fair and square.
You're gonna lose fair and square.
Does everyone know what their job is?
Stay here, guard the base.
If anyone comes into this base, you have to shoot them, kill them.
I can do it.
I still don't like this. What if they ambush us?
Look what they did to me.
What happened?
Skinner. He took one prisoner.
You know he had it in him. He's not gonna go for a prisoner. Look, kill Quan as soon as Skinner brings him in.
They're gonna be sorry you ever met PK.
You take my best friend prisoner? That's not how you win a war.
I saw you.
What? With that girl? She thinks she's, like, cool? She's not.
I'll be back later. Right now, I want some juice.
You can't stop a war for juice.
What you mean?
I won. I beat everybody.
I don't want to be your friend.
But I'm better than him!
He tortured me.
Oh!
Fits the plan perfectly.
Make a new plan.
You want to win? You gotta have casualties.
This your first war?
Yeah.
Why'd you come out?
Fun, I guess. I don't really have a lot of friends.
Okay, that was the trailer for I Declare War. So here's the synopsis taken from their film website, ideclarewar.ca. Every day after school, two groups of 13-year-old friends play war in a local forest. They make their own guns out of sticks, old toys, anything that you can find. They play to have fun. One afternoon, the game gets a little out of hand. One side's commander, the brilliant tactician PK Sullivan, is clever, ruthless, and committed to the traditional military ideals of leadership, loyalty, and victory. PK's clear-cut world is complicated when Skinner, a loose cannon and enemy soldier, kidnaps PK's best friend, Quan, and holds him prisoner. Skinner goes off the deep end, removing his own commander and taking over the team. He's obsessed with defeating PK and begins torturing Quan to get information. PK mounts a rescue attempt, trying deception, force, tactics, whatever will get his friend back. Meanwhile, the other soldiers on both sides flex what little power they have. Jess, the lone girl, wants to impress one of the boys and is determined to circumvent all the stupidity and just win the war on her own. The bully and weakling team of Sikorsky and Frost begins to show stress fractures. The heartless, frustrated Joker taunts the shy, nervous Altar Boy until fate provides Altar Boy with an opportunity for payback. Caleb, a quietly cold-blooded assassin, wanders through the carnage with his dog Shadow. None of PK's rescue attempts are successful, and Quan is left to escape on his own. Unfortunately, Quan's escape runs contrary to PK's plans. He needs Quan to play prisoner in order to keep Skinner distracted. PK coldly orders his best friend to go back to Skinner's camp and be recaptured, even though it probably means more torture for Quan. Quan wilts and agrees. PK launches his grand finale, but Skinner is smarter than PK gives him credit for. He anticipates PK's attacks and moves his base, leaving a trap for PK and capturing him. And in the end, Skinner reveals why he wants to defeat PK so badly. And Skinner tells PK he can have the victory, but he wants PK to cut Quan on the face to sell out Quan as easily as he sold out Skinner. So, actually, their synopsis here really reveals everything. So I kind of missed, I just purposely just not said everything here. If basically, it just tells the entire movie, which is really bad synopsis. So, what do you think of the movie? Is directed by Jason Lapierre and Robert Wilson. It's written by Jason Lapierre. Both Canadian. It's a Canadian-made film. Canadian actors. Canadian production. When I saw this last night, and it was awesome. Well, I liked it. You know, you obviously see this, like, people will say, oh, comparisons to Lord of the Flies, if you're familiar with that movie where a class of all males, I think 12-year-old schoolboys get stranded on an island and things basically fall apart. And it's a metaphor about society and about lack of, leadership. That, you know, when order is gone and stuff. But this movie is not Lord of the Flies. It's, I think it's more than that. It's, you see the clear overtones the metaphor of, you know, the how the loss of innocence when it comes to like winning at all cost in war. But you also see they're just kids playing war, you know, and you see that in the movie. And there's a lot of things going on. On the synopsis, they had like different kind of characters like mentioned, and each one has a different like subplot, if you will. And you have like this girl, Ginny or something. Was it Ginny? Jess. Sorry, Jess, the lone girl. She basically is a femme fatale. Surprisingly, she uses her, you know, being a female to work, play the other boys. And I was like, wow, that's actually awesome. Like how the writer decided to put that in. And there's also each, you know, how when you're growing up, there's this how sometimes you just want to have friends. And sometimes there's also like bad friends where like they just, there's this guy, like he just keeps giving this like scenario, like, oh, what if you eat this piece of dog poop because and you become my friend, you know, or I, you know, or you become my best friend if you eat the dog poop, and then I'll give you like $50. And it's like, I don't know if you encountered that, but they're like, yeah, kids can be stupid, and that's like, and very shallow. But you see that, it's like, wow, man, like, can't believe how. But the thing is that the movie balances it very well. The metaphor of this, like, the, I guess, war, the tragedy of war, and then, of course, you know, what kids go through, you know, growing up. And at the end of the movie, the movie is basically about friendship. People just want to have friends, you know. And the conflict here is like, obvious conflict is like, you got Skinner, who, by the way, is like the bad guy, is makes Tom Berenger's character in Platoon, I don't know, like an altar boy, you know, not to, but that guy Skinner is like, this guy is like, if he is for real, like a military, you know, you meet him in a, as an enemy, man, you're scared. This guy is like obsessed with defeating the, I guess, the other faction, which is BK. But there's no clear good guy or bad guy here. At first, you think it's Skinner. Skinner's the bad guy. But PK, his tactics of winning at all cost, in, you know, to the point where he's willing to sacrifice his best friend to get killed, to get tortured. He doesn't care if, you know, people just, his troops, he just treats his, like, his teammates like pawns. He doesn't, you know, and basically, like, I don't know if you're familiar with Ender's Game. It's basically that we're like, as a kid, he, you know, he just uses people to his own gain, as long as it meets his objective. And so you're like, man, there's this, you don't know who to root for here. And you get, and also, and then there's this altar boy who's like the innocent one, the new kid who just arrived, and he's just trying to join in, trying to fit in. But you know, that him too, like with him dealing with this guy, the I guess, I don't know, like the mean, you know, douchey kid who's been like, I think he's bullying him or something. Well, not bullying in a sense where like physically bullying him, but I think, yeah, there was a part there where he basically punched Alta Boy. So yeah, you could say physically bullying him too, but mostly verbally bullying him. But how he ends up like letting this guy that's been bullying him, they're both teammates, so he lets him die. And I like that there's basically, this movie is all gray. And in terms of like this being like played by kids, and they're all like, you see them like holding like sticks, pretending that they're, you know, guns and stuff. But then suddenly they, through their imagination, you see those sticks become real guns and they start firing real bullets and there's like explosions and stuff. And you see that in the movie and it adds a new element to it. I was like, wow, this movie has a lot of layers than I would think. And it's not a kid's movie. It's rated hardcore rated R language. This kids are picture. Have you seen Kick-Ass, Hit Girl? Basically, that movie, people were complaining that movie is like she's, you know, cursing like a sailor. This one, this kids, wow, they, you know, they make Hit Girl, you know, pure. This kids here, they're like cursing left and right, dropping F bombs here and there. I was like, whoa, you know, sarcastic remarks. I was like, man, and overall, it's a good film. So I'm reviewing this one to hopefully you guys would check it out. And it's surprising because upon reviewing Star Trek and then comparing it, then reviewing I Declare War, there is a different theme going on. On Star Trek, Kirk is all about family. Kirk, you know, he would, you know, go out of his way not to get any of his crew killed, you know. While this one, I Declare War, these are kids, but the people here, the leaders here, they don't care if any of their soldiers get killed. They basically just goes and say, they just want to win. And I think this is more realistic of what's real, you know, what's in battle in terms of war, where at the end leaders just uses the pawns, the soldiers, the foot soldiers, you know, they don't care if those people die as long as it achieves victory. And I think for me personally, I like Star Trek because it's like, it's that ideal version where like you have Kirk basically, like there's a scene there, he's like begging one of the bad guys to spare his ship, to spare his crew, and then he fails to convince this bad guy to spare his crew, so he just turns around and says sorry. And I was just like, man, that hit hard to me when I was watching that. And you know, and I would like, that's the leader that I want. But the truth of the matter is, I don't know if there's leaders like that where they would, you know, go out of their way in terms of like a hardcore war, hardcore battle between life and death, between like huge circumstance. I don't think they would go out of their way to protect their crew, to protect, you know, their comrades. And I just find that interesting, like how a movie, a big Hollywood movie, and then compared to this Canadian made, which were played by kids, actually presents a realistic view of war, of battles, and, you know, this, I guess, the tragedy of it. So, highly recommended, the movie I Declare War. So, with that in mind, so guys, what do you think? Hope you, if you've seen I Declare War, let me know about it. If it's something that you are into, hopefully you guys would check it out. Anyway, another break. Oh, okay, we're running short. I guess I don't get to give you my hangover review. So we only have 10 minutes left. But before I, you know, run out of time, I have to give out some news and events, what's going on and are happening in Vancouver for the upcoming week. So for this week, the new commercial movie releases are Fast and Furious 6, The Hangover Part 3, the animation from DreamWorks titled Epic. Yeah, that's really bold title there, Epic. And Love Is All You Need. I've seen Love Is All You Need. Not exactly. Yeah, it for me anyway. It's not my thing. It's from, and as for movies showing in Vancouver's art house cinemas, showing at the Van City Theater for this week, we have Beyond the Hills from director Christian Mungui. He is the director of the acclaimed film 4 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days. Then, backed by popular demand, also showing this week at the Van City Theater, the documentary Italy, Love It or Leave It. At the Pacific Cinematheque, or I guess now it's called the Cinematheque, they're having a mini retrospective of films of screenwriter Charles Brackett and writer-director Billy Wilder. They're coinciding this to, I think, a book lunch, where I think about Charles Brackett. The Cinematheque will be showing this week the movies Ninotchka, Sunset Boulevard, The Lost Weekend, and Ball of Fire. I've seen Sunset Boulevard. Man, blew me away. Personally, I love film noir, so worth checking out at the Cinematheque. So for showtimes, just go to the Van City Theater website, viff.org/theater. And for the Cinematheque's website, thecinematheque.ca. So worth checking out. Special cinema events happening this week. The 2013 Student Film Showcase will be held on May 27th at the Van City Theater, 6:30 p.m. So that's May 27th, I think. That's on Monday, if I'm not mistaken. 24, 25, 26, yep, Monday. Established in 2004, the Student Film Showcase showcases the finest in student films from universities and colleges from across Canada, with the participation of the Film School Consortium. This Toronto International Film Festival event presents a range of student films in diverse forms, including animation, documentary, fiction, and experimental work that represents the burgeoning talent of our nation's next generation of filmmakers. So, out of the Student Film Showcase, we have from Vancouver filmmakers Genius, the Kevin Ossant story by Naomi Mark, Placement of the Grain by Mitch Kraft, Savage by Dylan Starwalt, Teamwork by Thor Onet, and then from the rest of Canada, you got Blackout by Sharon Mirsky, Firecrackers by Jasmine Muzaffari, Son of a Beach, that's a beach, like, you know, I'm gonna go swim in the beach. So Son of a Beach, Sun, as in S-U-N, by Nathan Moura, Noah by Walter Woodman, Patrick Sederberg, Elizabeth by Yu Yong Zong, 1997 by Byron Chan, Godfather Death by Aileen H. Peng, Lost Built by Marie Takbas, and Basilisk by Mamie Thompson. So worth checking out, short films from student filmmakers. If you're friends of those local Vancouver filmmakers, worth checking out. It's at the Van City Theater, May 27, 6:30 p.m. And then there's the third Canada Drome at the Pacific Cinematheque on Sunday, May 26. Come and see the pulse-pounding short film, The Red Hours, from Montreal filmmaker and film critic John Fallon, along with creepy six films, Catholic Cheerleaders for Satan, followed by a special screening of the kick-ass backwoods killer comedy Tucker and Dale vs. Evil. A few special guests will be in attendance, and as always, there will be licensed drinks, so there's beer and wine, and tickets are $12 at the door, $10 if you're already a member. So, doors open at 12:30 p.m. Show starts at 1 p.m. If you are for more info, you could go to theycamefromwithin.com. So that's their website. It's organized by Shivers Film Society. And on another one here, we have on Saturday, for those who are Joss Whedon and Serenity fans, there is the Can't Stop the Serenity, the eighth annual charity screening of Joss Whedon's Serenity. It raises money for Equality Now, BC Women's Hospital and Healthcare Health Center Foundation, and Avalon Recovery Society. Highlights include a screening of Dr. Herbal's sing-along blog, an auction, an evil laugh contest. So, if you have an evil laugh, I don't know if what's their prize. A costume contest, and Joss Whedon trivia bingo. So, it will be happening this Saturday, May 25, 12:30 to 5:30 p.m. at the H.R. Macmillan Space Center. Tickets are $15, and more info, you could go to serenityscreeningvan.blogspot.ca. That's serenityscreeningvan.blogspot.ca. And on Monday, there is the screening, a documentary happening at the Vancouver Library. It's a free screening. It's called The Mystery of Mazo de la Roche, as part of the What's Up Doc series. Enjoy a screening of the documentary that explores the story of the Canadian author who skyrocketed to international fame in 1927 when she won a major literary prize. So it's a free screening. If you are into that, it's on May 27, Monday, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Alice McKay Room at the Central Library. So that's where. And on a different subject here, there's also the Vancouver Comic Arts Festival. It's going to have, so it's, if you're into comics, it's a two-day festival featuring artists like Steve Lieber, Brandon Graham, and Nina Matsumoto. So admission is free. It will be happening this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, May 25, May 26. On Saturday, it will be 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. On Sunday, 11 a.m., 5 p.m. It will be happening at the Roundhouse Community Arts and Recreation Center. So it's near the Yaletown SkyTrain station. So for those, so yeah, that's the Vancouver Comic Arts Festival. Wow, that's really rough. But that's pretty much it. So I hope you guys find the first screening here okay. First show. Okay. Again, this is my name is Michael DeLeor. This is you are listening to The Projectionist here on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. And so the next show coming up will be Skald's Hall, hosted by Brian M. And I think that's pretty much it. So without further ado, just like to thank everyone out there for listening. And if you have any questions, comments, opinions, just you could email me at theprojectionist.citr@gmail.com, Twitter, on twitter.com/Michael_DeLeor. And that's pretty much it. I hope you guys have a great weekend, and enjoy yourselves at the movies. Thank you. Hello? Yes?
this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns, and those who dig. You dig.
For the past 7 years, Sled Island has delivered a hot, fresh, and saucy music and arts festival in Calgary, Alberta. In 2013, it's saucier than ever. From June 19th to 22nd, independent musical acts, visual artists, filmmakers, and comedians, including the CITR Showcase featuring White Lung, will frolic your amusement at over 30 venues. For more information on schedules, venues, ticket purchases, and more, visit www.sledisland.com. Sled Island is proudly sponsored by CITR.
Movies are a great way to understand the culture and thought process of a generation. And the 7th Annual Taiwanese Film Festival is taking place at the Downtown Vancouver International Film Center from June 14th to 16th. It will be featuring some of the best Chinese films from the small island of Taiwan. Come and experience the different world and get to know more about the many groups of people living in this awesome city. For more details, please visit twff.ca. Again, that is twff.ca.
To celebrate 30 years of alternative publishing, Discorder will be hosting a birthday bash on May 31st at the Biltmore Cabaret. Featuring Hot Panda, Dirty Spells, Phoenix Thunderbird, and Hooves, plus a silent auction with a ton of killer prizes. For more information, go to discorder.ca.